want to do that. So again, I think everybody understands the rules. So Dr. Thorpe and Bruce Vandervoort, please.
My name is Sylvia Thorpe, and I'm still a tree farmer from Deming and Shrink in Bellingham and the other times. Y'all got this pamphlet here from Northwest Trek. I'm sort of a volunteer representative for Northwest Trek, and I got into that in 1976, rather a long time ago. There is a wildlife viewing map that the department puts out, and it's all natural areas where you can, you know, go and see wildlife. But if you take a look at the pictures in your pamphlet, these are all taken at the park. These animals, see, there's a bobcat and cougar, and here's your endangered lynx. They have endangered fisher and the wolverine and all kinds of stuff, and they're all in their natural setting. It's on hundreds of acres. They're not like in some kind of cage, and you go, oh, what am I come here for? It's really an amazing experience. You can photograph, you can watch. There's entertainment for your kids. They can climb all over everything. There's a zip line. You can picnic. This is an amazing area. There's a map here for you from, you know, I-5, how do you get there? And then there's a map of the park, and the department has already worked with Northwest Trek on fisher reintroduction into the Olympic Peninsula. So there's, and they've brought cougars that were kind of wandering around, and brought them in so they could be there in the park. So it's a wonderful experience. I'm only encouraging you, if you haven't been there and y'all managing the wildlife, this may be the only chance you get to see threatened and endangered wildlife up close and personal in their natural setting without being in a cage. Thank you very much.
You. Sylvia, I had a cougar in my backyard last week.
You know, I have two, and I've had bear in my backyard, and they take up all of the bird feeders, which I've learned to take down.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting living out there in the boonies. Thank you. You can make the change on the wildlife map whenever it's reissued and put Northwest Trek on it. Maybe a lot of people would learn more about wildlife and have a good time at the same time.
Thank you. Lance Gray, please, and Bruce.
Good afternoon. I'm president of the Washington State Trappers Association, and I just wanted the commission to know how happy we are with the job Angelique Curtis did as fur bearer manager. This year, Washington State Trappers Association and the department started a cooperative program for WSTA to CITES tag bobcats and otters. This has been a big convenience for trappers, and it reduces manpower needs for the department. It seems like a winning proposition all around, but we've been trying to get this program off the ground for 14 years. Angelique listened to our needs, followed through on many past promises. We are disappointed the fur bearer section has been taken away from Angelique, so often we forget to mention a job well done. In our opinion, Angelique has done a great job as fur bearer section manager. I also would like to, if I got time, just a quick comment on earlier comment about bobcat populations and harvest. In the state of Washington, you know, we can only use cage traps. And with the increase in gated roads, it has really made it difficult to trap bobcats. A typical bobcat trap is 3 feet by a foot and a half high by about 12 inches wide. So in areas where there are gates, even though it's open to the public, it's very difficult to get very far from the gate with many traps. So I think that has been a big driving force in a decrease in the bobcat harvest population, because there's just so many areas that trappers are not able to access anymore. The price of bobcats has recently dropped by at least a third, maybe drop to a third of the price was a couple of years ago. So the bobcat population, I don't think, is in any way going to be endangered from trapping. So that's all I've got to say. So
thank you, and thank you for the nice words, Rachel. Yeah. Andy and Martha.
Commission, tomorrow at 11:45, you will hear how on the Willapaw last year, they will tell you how there was some overfishing. By 5%. Okay, this 5% was 40 fish in one system and 50 fish in the other. If you're the biologist, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. You did a great job. Okay, the overfishing was not done by the commercial fishery. Okay, yet you're going to hear some testimony tomorrow that says we need to cut the commercial fishery back. Okay, if we cut the commercial fishery back, and you might not believe this, you will now be cutting into the conservation piece, because you better get used to this word. It's the PHAS, the percentage of the hatchery fish on the spawning ground. If you cut our fishery any further, and you've already cut it to the bone, okay, you will now be allowing more hatchery fish on the spawning ground, and we will never get to the PHAS level. Okay, and if you go further into the future, we will not meet our HSRG levels. Okay, once this happens, we cut back the hatcheries. Okay, it's already happened on the Willapaw, and the recreational fleet has finally accepted that. And they're not happy with this because some of them were not explained well how it was going to happen. Okay, it's the primary system. Now they're saying, oh, wait, what happened? We really wanted this policy because we were going to take the commercial guys off the water. Well, this isn't working for them either. Okay, so if you continue to cut our seasons and we do not remain at the 20% harvest rate or even higher, in the future, the Willapaw system will lose its hatcheries. Okay, that's not my sentiment. Okay, that's reality because of the HSRG. Okay. Yeah, that's about it. Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Andy. And Rob Kribiel, please. Martha.
I'm Martha Jordan, and I've come today to talk about item number 7, which is the Snoqualmie Wildlife Area hunt dog training. And I'm coming as my personal self, but I do sit on the Snoqualmie Wildlife Area Advisory Committee, and I've been on that for a very long time, more than a decade. And I have a strong commitment to the wildlife areas and ensuring that they remain at the core mission of the agency, which is for wildlife and wildlife-oriented recreational activities. I have also been involved with the hunt dog training community, not only personally with my Irish Water Spaniels and doing hunt tests and things like that, but I have a wildlife service dog who works with me, highly trained, working with swans and other waterfowl issues on agency lands and anywhere we have issues. So I have also been a member of this subcommittee that was formed by the agency related to the hunt dog training in the Snoqualmie. And I sat on that, and I still sort of am involved with it, although I've sort of removed myself because of the contentious nature of the group of people that have such diverse needs. Retriever training, field trial training, upland bird training, it just goes on and on. And not all of them agree with each other. But I urge WDFW to stay the course of your multiple user mission. The hunt dog training can be a contentious at times. Not all have the same needs, but I do support hunt dog training on our wildlife areas where it's appropriate and how we can have this multiple use concept. And Cherry Valley is the poster child, and it has been for a very, very long time. Then when you uncomplexed and recomplexed Lewis to manager, and now you have Brian Baim, who is a great wildlife area manager. WDFW needs to support what he's doing in bringing back this wildlife area with all the different user groups. So I support the plan as proposed by WDFW for the hunt dog train area at Cherry Valley as it's currently planned, and I have no support for any expansion until we can all determine if the partnership volunteer effort that the dog community has put forward is actually going to work. It failed in the past, and I'm here to say, let's give it a second chance, let's move forward and see if this time it can really work, because I think it's a good idea. The restoration of the big pond at Cherry Valley is needed. It was lost due to the restoration efforts. It's a long story, won't go into here, but I have voiced that opinion in specifics. And also, the other core mission for the wildlife areas that we have in our urban rural areas is the off-leash dog use. And that can include your hunt dogs, but it mostly includes pet dogs. And people are using these areas for off-leash dog parks. And we need more signs and more support and more enforcement because these are wildlife areas, not off-leash dog parks. And I do spend a lot of my time out there educating people, not being hostile, but there is a serious need for education.
Thank you, Martha, and thank you for all that you do for all these causes. We did have a very good discussion this morning about this issue, and we're going to be looking.
And I couldn't be here this morning, and I apologize, but
we're going to get on top of it. Yep.
I just wanted to give Martha an opportunity to give us a little update on Swan. Related issues, just haven't heard anything lately.
No, I've been sort of buried in body, so to speak. We had a really successful swan survey effort in January for the midwinter, and I want to applaud the department. The Whatcom County, Skagit County, Island, San Juan, Snohomish King, and Eastern Pierce is where we focus. Mostly it's Skagit, Whatcom, Snohomish King, and Eastern Pierce. And my zone, basically assigned by the agency, although I'm not with the agency, is South Snohomish King and Pierce. And this year we did a phenomenal job with the agency, giving me a staff person for a day to do ground counts followed by an aerial survey that I do. And it's really been a successful count. We have almost 20,000 trumpeter tundra swans in that county zone. This is about 4,000 more than we've ever had before. Most of them are trumpeter swans. It's true. There's been a real shift, and we all sat around and we thought about it, and we're just going, okay, so what's going on? And what we think happened this year, because in Snohomish County, just for an example, I did a ground count, and you can't see a lot of Snohomish County by ground, which is why the agency allows me some funding to go in an airplane, and I fly with one of their biologists and me, and we go on these 3-hour flights. I had almost 1,700 more swans in Snohomish County than I've ever had before, and they were all trumpeters. So what we think is, we had that really cold weather at the end of December, and we think that these birds just moved down out of Canada, because there is no way that we have that many more swans in a population in a year. I mean, the numbers just aren't there. And we also noted that some of the counts to the north in Canada that were done are way down. So what we did notice was this big shift to trumpeters, and the tundra swans just moved out and went south because we can't find them anywhere. There were 14 tundra swans in Whatcom County, and there was just a few thousand in Skagit, which was, again, really amazing. So we have a substantial number of swans in this zone, and that didn't count the Chehalis, that didn't count all these other areas that we only count every 5 years. So we're really excited, but we also recognize that waterfowl-friendly farming is also going down with the snow goose issues and farmers having issues. So the organization that I represent, which is the Northwest Swan Conservation Association, we're now partnering with some of the farming community, and including the Dairy Federation and stuff, to really step up some farmland awareness and really keep abreast of what's going on and work with the agency in how we promote waterfowl-friendly farming, because if we don't, we're going to have a collision course with all of these waterfowl pressures. And it is also about reaching out to the conservation community, which doesn't understand your quality hunt and doesn't understand some of these principles. So, again, we're reaching out and being that bridge.
Yes.
This occurred to me earlier, Martha, as I was listening to the goose farm issues. Are there preventive farming practices that are known? You know, they were talking about they're out of the corn at some date. I know on the east side they'll leave corn standing and not take it out for the larger birds coming in, the cranes in particular. Are there things that could be done or are understood that could be done that would help keep the geese where they shouldn't be?
That's a tough one in the Skagit and Whatcom and even Snohomish. And the snow geese are now literally in Squim, and because we're doing a bunch of continuing ongoing waterfowl surveys there with the help of the agency, and they're now down in the shale. So I don't know what's going to happen with snow geese because they're kind of in an explosive mode. I mean, seriously explosive. It's a bad scene. Yes, you can do some things in exclusion zones, but really it's sort of like plant more corn mazes and make sure they're really corn, not just a maze that you planted late so you don't have any corn on the cob so that the kids can't throw it at each other. But it's really about looking at the bigger picture, and I've been talking to Russell Link about this, and I've been talking to a few others and figuring out where do we go from here? How do we involve both the rural and the urban? How do we connect these two together to understand this so we have ecotourism as well as we have an increase in hunting and actually the quality hunt and the Nowhere to Hunt company? They're what keeps the geese moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem is that we would love to see, in a way, a spring snow goose hunt, but in Western Washington, that's not likely to happen because of the constraints of all the regulations and rules that are way beyond even Washington.
Right.
And I'm keeping up with that. So I'm trying to understand that system. But you're right. There isn't one simple thing.
Right.
I know at Nash's Carrots and Squim, we can put in bamboo poles with Mylar tape, and that works fine.
Thanks, Martha. Great. And Rob, you have the last word of the day, so send us out with a smile.
Sounds good. Well, my name is Rob Crable. I'm the new Northwest representative for Defenders of Wildlife. I'm based here in Washington. And we just wanted to provide some quick comments on the Whale Protection Zone presentation that Lynn gave. Really good presentation. It overviewed the process and the proposal that's been put forward. And we just want to say that we're glad that the commission is looking at this issue. We're really encouraged to see that you guys are looking at orca issues generally. And we'd really like to encourage the commission to continue supporting the agency in some of the current enforcement efforts that are going on. Chair Smith, I know that you went out with the agency with my boss, Sean Cantrell, last year to sort of see what it was like out on the boats. And they're doing a lot of really good work making sure that those current enforcement regulations are being enforced. And just any way that the commission can continue to support those efforts, potentially looking at finding ways to find permanent and secure funding for those enforcement efforts would be very important moving forward. Also, in addition to some of the enforcement efforts going on right now, we would really like to encourage the commission to look at whale conservation, orca conservation in a more holistic way, exploring things like prey abundance and toxins. Those are the two major threats that are impacting our southern resident orcas, and it's where Defenders of Wildlife is going to be focusing a lot of our efforts. And so we would hope that you guys focus on those as well and that we can work with you on some of those efforts in the future.
So you'll be here with Sean or instead of Sean?
In addition to Sean. I know he's coming down tomorrow, so you guys can beat him up then. But I will be down here on a lot of other issues as well.
And are you new to the area?
I lived out here. I just moved back here from Montana, but I had lived out here about 4 years ago.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. And Sean's always a good guy to work with.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And that brings us to a closure. March 17th meeting of Fish and Wildlife Commission. We will reconvene at 8 a.m. Thank you.